love that will not leave me blind. Love like this on earth can't find. Love that opens up my eyes. Christ, my Savior, you bring me to life. Love that would not leave.
Hello, welcome to Only God Rescued Me, my journey from satanic ritual abuse. I'm Lisa Meister, your host, and we are welcoming back Cardia Joy. Welcome, Cardia.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, as always.
I am so happy to have you back. We have been really blessed by your music. And again, your gift, not just that you can compose, but that you are sharing your healing journey with us. And that it doesn't, you sit down one day and it comes start to finish, but that this is a process that you are sharing with us. So what song do you have for us today?
I'm going sequentially through the album is what I'm doing. And so the song today is Love That Will Not Leave Me Blind. So it's third in the album.
Wow. Okay. That's a big title.
Yeah, it is. I was like, it's kind of a, I don't know how to describe it. I knew when I labeled or when I titled it that, I was like, it's not exactly the hip sound, but there's a lot behind it.
So the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's not going to leave us blind.
Yeah. 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 So I actually, if you don't mind, if I almost back out a little bit and tell a little bit of the story of the album, and then maybe we go into the song. I think that might be a neat way to share it. So like I've shared in a previous podcast, God gave me music. It is really all credit to him, all glory to him for the gift. And, so there's so many stories, just in the category of music, never mind my own life. And, I had some people that knew that I do music. I really don't have at this point a lot of opportunity to even share it. So it's a lot of me in dialogue with God and sharing it one-on-one with friends and things, but somebody, wanted to see this, music get out more. And so I, was given this opportunity to record it. And, the music came together and then we went to put the songs in order and I was like, oh, I don't like the flow of this. And we just one night sat down and, just began to move the songs into what I thought would be, a flow of thought. And what was so fascinating to me is that the first song, which we talked about in the first podcast, I Don't Know How to Be, that was written right at the point when I feel like God began to invite me very specifically into healing. The songs actually are pretty sequentially. I didn't say, let's put these in order of when they were written. But when I looked back at how we rearranged them that night, they were in the sequence of how my story unfolded and how my healing happened. It might seem like, well, duh, but no, it wasn't. The way we had lined them up, it wasn't that way. The order I recorded them in, it wasn't. And so as I had rearranged it, I just thought that was kind of an interesting and neat thing. And so the songs that I am working on recording right now, and it will take me some time because I'm a very busy life. So it's hard for me to get this done. But the ones that I have been so eager to record are actually yet to come. They are more in my heart, they're the ones that where I began to feel healing, because sometimes we can be healing, but we don't feel like it. It's just like when you open up a wound, it can be overwhelming to look at. I mean, completely overwhelming. And then you get the diagnosis and how much bigger and more serious it's going to be. And then you hear maybe the time frame. I'm thinking medically, but I'm not a medical person, but you know, you're going to need this much time. It can just be like, oh my goodness. And feel like you're not getting any traction in healing. And, so these songs here were where I was very much in process of wrestling, even trying to figure out why in the world I was in so much pain. I mean, all my life, my heart had hurt and I didn't understand why. So it's anyway, just interesting to me in the whole album. It is a journeying of how God was gently coming to visit me with healing. So that's just one thing I had wanted to share about this. And then if I go ahead and dive into this particular song. So this is, I was wondering, I'm curious how this song has hit people. I'll just say, I don't anticipate this being one that when you hear it, you're like, oh, that's the one that I love. Like that's not necessarily at all how I view this song, but this song is a mile marker with me, with God, of a very, very, very difficult thing I went through, and the overwhelming grace that he gave me to walk through that. So I think probably what I want to do is just even share the story behind the song, and then maybe we could go through more of it specifically. But in my story, in the way God has brought me to where I am today, because I'm in process and healing, I had always been in pain, ton of pain. There was a sequence of things that happened, and it kind of helps, I think, maybe I name some years just so that you have some kind of measuring of what I'm talking about, because it can be nebulous and all that. But it was in 2014 that God began to reveal some things about my past. And I mean the smallest things, just the smallest things, that something was really, really wrong. Someone had said to me, just very lovingly, just something doesn't make sense with your story. And I crumbled in a sense, because it was like, what do you mean? I grew up in a wonderful Christian family. I don't know. And I didn't know what to do with that. It was like God had planted a seed. And some significant things happened in 2014. And I was left more confused than anything, because just barely touching my family of origin. Sorry, I just hit the microphone. Boom. Everything exploded. And I had no idea why. Why in the world did everything explode? My parents, who I had honored, I had covered so much. Like I would want to, because we're all sinners, right? I viewed it as, for one thing, I was also taught that if I did anything against God, he would, you know, punish me basically, you know, to the nth degree. So, I had only honored them, but basically dared to question some things. And by this time I was, married, we'd had our family. So this isn't like I was fresh out of the home or, you know, 21 and maybe trying to go a different direction or something, you know? And so everything was, they had smeared, gone on a smear campaign, which was puzzling to me as well, because they were considered spiritual leaders and, considered to be, me and my siblings, I believe, gave my parents a very good reputation, because all of us were very, very good children. Again, covered many things. In the trying to figure out why my parents would turn on us as children so extremely, it was so puzzling. I just cried and wept out to God, why this brokenness, and why? Just saw a side of them that I had seen, many sides of them that were, again, I had covered out of honor of them, but there was an extremeness to this that went even further. And this will be a long story. I'll just say this is not short. I have to explain all this to get to this other point. Let's acknowledge that this is story. So I began to piece together that there had been confession to a couple of siblings, some criminal activity, and began to realize this wasn't just about me. This wasn't just affecting me, and that my covering of them had ramifications. I had covered what I had known, but I found out there was more to it, and it had ramifications that were huge. And in the process of seeing a counselor, I was told, well, you need to do something about that. I was already hurting so much, and now I have to go do something to do what's right. This isn't loving anymore. This isn't okay. And so I went to the person that I knew had influence and could do something about who had been wronged and an entity that had been wronged and much ramification from it. And so I went to this person and shared what I knew. I was asked a number of questions, a number of questions. And it had been very, 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 very difficult to even go see this person. It just I almost couldn't pull it off. I knew them from the past, and I knew their influence, and I knew that they, again, had the power to do what was needed to be done. I was told that it would be handled. I don't know when that next piece happened, but in a matter of time, in the beautiful, beautiful providence of God, God brought a person into my life. And through a sequence of things, God began to initiate more healing. I share this with the hope that if you have listeners who have complexity to their story, I have immense complexity to my story. And me even speaking out this much is done in an act of faith and trust in God, that I fear God. I do not fear man. I fear God. And I also, in that fear of God, I have the confidence that he can take care of me. So I began to learn more about how my body functioned and began to understand why it had flashbacks. I didn't understand flashbacks, didn't understand why I would have these things that didn't make sense. Through a sequence that only God could have pieced together, only God could have pieced together, met a person who was able to speak into my life and help me begin to understand some things. That is a story that is so complex and beautiful and stunning. And what God has done through that is something that I don't know if I'll ever be able to publicly share, but it was phenomenal. And there's intricacies to that story that I know I'm being so vague, but I would just encourage your listeners to know that if you hunger to have healing and you ask God to heal you, he can do the unbelievable. My healing journey started with this prayer that just erupted out of me. God, would you heal all the gangrene in my heart? Would you heal it? That was in 2012. Family situation blew up in 2014. This was 2015 that I went to someone to try to do what was right. Couple months later, God brought somebody else into my life who spoke some helpful healing into me. And through that, it set in motion some things where I began to realize that the person I had gone to was actually one of my perpetrators.
Wow.
There were drugs involved. So the fact that I had not been aware that that person had had multiple roles in my life, I was not aware of when I went to that person. And I hope and pray that there are some listeners who might be comforted in their story if you have some deep complexity to your story and things where people might not believe you or think that you're crazy. I've been down that road, and I've been through the pain of isolation and mocking and cutting off, being gossiped about, slandered, deeply slandered by professing Christians telling me they love me. And, oh, how close Jesus has come to me in that. And so it was through that sequence of events that I found out that that person I'd gone to knew exactly who I was. And when I was being asked questions, it was, how much did I know about? So I was sitting there trying to do the right thing that had ramifications upon many people. And this person who had the power to do what was right, I couldn't go back and do a single thing. I don't have words for the total body shock and horror and feelings of complete violation. This is a professing, well-respected believer, professing believer. I don't think that this person is capable of being in the family of God with what has been done. There has to be repentance, and there is not, or I would know. And it was in that space that this song was written, Love. That would, but will not leave me blind. I was raised in a home where I was a pawn. I was used for all manner of violation of me, violation of the name of God. I was used for evil. And God, when he knew I was ready to heal, he knew that any earlier, I don't know that I would have been able to handle the truth of me. I had signs, I had symptoms, I had things that were emerging that I didn't understand. There was so much evidence all around me. And in his great, faithful, loving kindness, he came and he took the blindfold off of me. The love of God that would give me my dignity back. My dignity was taken from me before I could have a cognitive thought, before I could speak. My dignity was taken from me. All of my life, I was shoved forward as a spokesperson to cover the sins of my parents, to speak how wonderful they were. I was made to be used to cover evil because my heart was towards Jesus. So I was a wonderful pawn to use so they could hide behind my genuine faith while using me in vile ways. And that God would come to me and restore. I mean, what the locusts have eaten, it almost doesn't seem strong enough wording. And so I cannot express the grace that God gave me that day. The horror. Can you imagine? The horror washing over me and the faceplant of God in heaven. Why? Why? I've heard that other survivors sometimes go to their perpetrator, and I do. Just again, pray that other survivors would know the covering, the taking off, right, of the blindness and the covering and the deep respect and dignity God gives us. I just pray that those who might be out there hurting over their loss of dignity at the hands of perpetrators, I pray that you will know your dignity, that you will know that God opened your eyes to see so that you would have the power to know just how precious you are. He does that so we know we are precious. He is not okay. He is not okay with how things are. And he is after our healing. That grace that he poured out on me that day was one of the most special days of my life. I can't believe the peace that passes understanding that guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I could have lost my mind at that point. I could have thrown in the towel. I could have walked away and said, that's it. And instead, I received his grace. He met me in it. There have been many times I've had to grieve that, hurt over it, the exposure. But instead it was, I don't know if it was the next day, but it was right in there that this song was written. Love that will not leave me blind. Love like this on earth can't find. Love that opens up my eyes. Christ, my Savior, you bring me to life. I was never supposed to heal like this. I was never supposed to be okay. And I was certainly not supposed to love Jesus. The mission was to destroy everything in me and make me a slave of grief and horror. To make me...
To take you straight to hell.
Yeah, I was going to say, make me Satan's victim. And slave. And despite all of it, his love triumphs. His love triumphs over evil. The next stanza says what the contrast is to who these enemies, they want to strip me. They want to use me, take everything I have, and they certainly want to take any hope that I have left, which is down to nothing. Take everything. Take. All they do is take, destroy, kill, destroy. Because that's who their master is. Jesus says, I came to give you life. Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life. And so that second stanza says, love that would not leave me blind. Love that in contrast gave of himself. Love that died to give me life. He would give everything to rescue me. In contrast to those who think they have triumphed over evil. Or in their evil, they think they have triumphed. That their evil triumphs. And instead, Jesus sacrifices everything to give me life. Love that opens up my eyes to see, to know, to realize a love that will not let me go. Love that gives a gun to show, a love that never will run out, won't turn away when I doubt. Love that will not let me go. Love that teaches me to know that I am loved and he is mine. I get to keep him. Christ, my Savior, you are mine. And so what they meant to do to further shame me, oh, the shame. I could walk around with a cone of shame. I could walk around with terror. With nothing left to want to breathe. And instead, I've chosen to receive his love and let him take back. To take it back for me. That, you know, the precious thing I've come to know over the last several years about God is that, yes, he is to be worshiped. Absolutely. But that, like I talked about in the last podcast, what that stems from first receiving that ever abundant, never stopping, flowing love that he has for us. He is all about us. His love for us is so deep that he will go to the place that we don't even know to ask. I didn't know when I said, would you heal all the gangrene in my heart? I had no clue. what I was asking. It was this prayer that I had no idea that I would just almost vomit. I did vomit out that prayer. And it was time. And he just, like a gentleman, came to engage me in, let's go for this. Let's go for this. And every time it would wipe me out when I'd find out more. And instead of taking me out, he was truly, truly healing me. And I am so thankful that, unlike anyone on earth, he is incapable of ever turning on us. Sometimes we can wear out even the people that care most about us, you know, because this kind of healing is exhausting. It is not fast. It affects every part of us. How can we think? How can we even eat sometimes? How can we sleep when the grief is so bad? We desperately need sleep and we can't sleep, right? We need to be able to communicate. How can you communicate when your soul is in so much turmoil and the grief is so immense? And yet that he is committed to carrying us through all of that and measuring it out so that we can heal. I am so grateful, to him. And I do hope and pray that the story behind the song will maybe bring to light for other people, maybe something that has been too hard to look at. This part of my story is so painful to look at. It's very, very difficult to look at. But I have experienced over these last several years the gratefulness that God would love me enough to not leave me blind, right? To open up my eyes, because he knew I needed to see this or I wouldn't understand how to heal. We need to know things. So anyway, that is the story behind the song.
It is just so powerful because of this. I mean, you need the story to understand the power of the song. And yeah. To see the beauty of, because a lot of people are like, why can't I just be fine?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of churches say, just be fine.
Just trust God. Just trust God.
If you're close enough to God, you know, you're just fine. That's the way it works. It's like, it, you know, and for a long time, I struggled with that too. Why aren't I just fine? I really am trying with everything I have to just focus on God. But all this stuff isn't leaving me alone. It's, you know, these flashbacks are coming no matter how close to God I am trying to be. I was sitting in the middle of a sermon and had a flashback. Oh. And I was focused on the sermon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It wasn't that I wasn't trying.
Yes. Yes.
It's not that. But I love how you say that, because he loves us, he wants us to understand.
Yeah.
We have to see, like, if you didn't know who your perpetrators were, then what would happen to you? You would still be there, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The ramifications of just that thought.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, no matter, like I think of you in that situation and I'm like, that must have been so humiliating. That you were sitting there
in the presence of my enemies,
literally bearing your soul to him, trying to explain, you know, where you thought your parents were the bastions of whatever, and you had been trying to follow God your whole life, doing the right things in the right ways, and still you followed after God. Again, I just am thrilled that you have stayed with God, because the enemy has constantly been bombarding you with, you can't trust God, you can't trust God, you can't trust God. And then you come up with love that will not leave me blind. And I bet the enemy was like, because he did not swindle you out of that. He did not swindle you out of your relationship with God, which is what he was trying to do with you from the moment you were born, was to get you away from that. And he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine God in that whole Hebrews 11. You know, they talk about the witnesses that are up there cheering you on, going, Cardia, well done. That's what they're doing. They're going, wow, blow after blow. And she's kept her eyes fixed on Jesus, even when she didn't understand. And all the pain and all that you've gone through and you've held on. And now here you are giving testimony of something that, again, I'm sure it's pulling all the pain up again one more time. Mm-hmm. And you're willing once again to give testimony and saying God is the good guy in the story.
Yeah.
He's not behind all that mess.
Yeah.
One, yeah. Revealing it so that you could get out.
Yes. Yeah. You know, one of the things that happened through that whole sequence as well that I think would be, I hope would be encouraging and important for your listeners to be encouraged by is through that, this is an important person. This is an important person, okay? This is not your average fellow churchgoer. It's an important person. And there was a fear of those people that I had. There was a, I'm just me, but we in the Christian circles can have this, well, do you listen to him? Do you know her? Do we know? And all that. And wow, have I realized how many important people are involved in darkness. Unspeakable darkness. The songs that I have coming out and some of the ones that it might be out on this album do reference just how dark it can be. Many of them are involved in this. And one of the things that I think is really important for the body of Christ to get over is the important people.
Yes.
There are not important people. Remember what James said. Don't you let that poor person walk in. You say, you go sit in the back, but you who has that, you come to the front and we honor you. That is not where Jesus is at. And he makes himself clear that he's with the brokenhearted. He is with the hurting. He is with the wounded. You want to talk about where his attention is at? It's not where all the focus has been. On, oh, we got to get a quote from him. We got to get a quote from her. And what did they have to say? And what did that ministry say? It leveled the ground in a way that was needed. I think I've referenced this before. I really viewed myself at the back. I was very, very, I could not be less important. And I really felt that was right. That it was part of being humble. I need to be humble. You know, be humble before God. I am nothing. Jesus is everything. But what if Jesus is saying, I didn't give myself for trash. I did not save trash. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works, and that my soul knows right well. We are marvelous. And what he is doing to heal the broken is magnificent. And I hope that your listeners can revel, delight in, bask in the love of Jesus, that he pours out love and healing and grace. His heart is right there. That's where he's at. He's with us. He is with those who need him. I would like to share a verse that God had given me somewhere in this process that I think speaks so much to what happened in that exchange. And this is what's to come. And I would want to speak this over your listeners, the hope that they have too. I have read through the Bible a number of times. And granted, a lot of that was because it was the holy thing to do. And I'm not saying it's not holy, not good, but understand that I was a girl who wanted to do whatever it meant, whatever it would take to get close to God, I would do it. So it's just kind of sweet and kind of funny to me almost. Like, well, back when I was doing that, I was so desperately wanting to feel close to God. So I read through the Bible a number of times. I've really been I'm just so grateful for the Word of God. But what I mean is that I had never seen this verse This is in Revelation, and this has become my life verse. So, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Okay, so let's pause on that for just a second. That is my story. I was raised in a Christian home. Let me tell you, what I've come to discover in these last many years was it was not a Christian home. The fact that I was taken to church and went to church every single time the doors were open, we led all the ministries, we did all the things, did not make us a Christian home. And the fact that it was declared that we were Christians does not cover the sins that were violating Jesus, violating God's dearest children, the innocent. So that alone, that phrase alone, calling it out just was like, boom! Because I would say that it's, I believe it's, we can draw that parallel, that to claim you're in Christ and be doing such vile, vile, horrific, criminal activity is, you can't say, well, I'm saved, so God will forgive it. God will forgive it. There are things that will be dealt with. And that's what this verse is about. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down. Ready for this? Where are they going to bow? I will come. Jesus says, I will come and they make them bow down before your feet. And they will learn that I have loved you. Wow. I loved you.
Wow.
So I went from, oh, I have this very privileged opportunity to go speak with this very important person, and I'm terrified because I'm about to turn in my parents. I went, oh, I'm going to these important people, to realizing that God leveled that playing field. Oh my goodness, did he level the playing field. And instead, he began to minister to me that he will yet, this day is coming, that person is going to bow at my feet. And God is going to show them that he loved me. That same God who would not leave me blind opened up my eyes to see that there is no love like that on earth. I am very, very loved by my husband. I'm so grateful to God. I have a husband who loves me very much, but he doesn't have the power to be able to bring about justice for me. That grieves him. He would love to bring about justice for me. And that's okay. He's God's gift to me. But even that person who loves me so much cannot do what only God can do for me. And that has given me a sanity in all of it, that I have peace, that I am known. My situation is fully known. There are things I still don't know about my story. There's a lot I still don't know. There's a lot I know. There's a lot I don't know. God intimately knows every detail. One of the prayers in my life has been, God, whatever I need to know, please show me. Please show me whatever I need to know. But here's what my request is for my healing. The horror is so horrific. It is too much. It is too much. And where it is too much, but I need to know it, he has gently been right there with me to help uncover the horror that I needed to know. This was something I needed to know, like you referenced. I needed to know. It was very important that I know this for my healing, for my protection going forward. Now I know who some people are. Only God could have done this. I'm telling you, the person that I met that was helpful in my journey, there is an aspect to that story that's probably going to have to be saved for heaven. But I'm just telling you, if you could know the details of that story, jaw on the floor, only God could expose such darkness, bring it to light, and bring some of the most powerful healing ever. It's almost unbelievable. And it was so beautiful. So it's a treasure that's in my heart that he knows. But for your listeners, where there's details that they may not know either because of the nature of some of what happens in this kind of abuse, that he knows every detail, and he's committed to our healing, and he's also God of justice. There was a time I went through that I needed justice. I was so angry. And that comes in waves sometimes still. And I think that's a phase that I personally think that's a phase you have to go through, because I don't think you can really heal if you don't really look at how horrible it is and have the right to be angry, because God's angry. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And I think to just be like, it's okay, well, just, you know, and we're people who are not willing to enter into the depth of how evil this can be. Well, love covers a multitude of sins. yes, it does. That is not what we are talking about. God says, Jesus says, hang a millstone around their head, around their neck, bury them in the depths of the sea. That's what he would have to say to it. So anger is an important process, I think, done in a way that acknowledges, because I think anger is, from what I've heard too, anger is closely tied to grief. Yeah. Often, not always, but it can be also very closely tied to grief, and that we even give ourselves a dignity of having the anger that we were violated as we were violated. And then I remember in the healing process of that anger, like, God, I just had to give it to him too. I came to a place of like, I can't bear this, because this is going to destroy me. You know, when the anger takes over too much and it's consuming me, then there, you know, the enemy's winning if he has me in that place. But, I remember going through a point of, why don't you deal with them? Why do they still thrive? I'm suffering. They're okay. They're okay. They're fine. They're prospering. And I can hardly function for the next minute, never mind the next hour, forget today, week, month, years, life. How am I supposed to go forward knowing all of this? Devastating, utterly devastating. And I felt like he kept inviting me to healing. And I was like, but do you realize how bad this is? Do you know how bad this is? I mean, do you really register how, like, God, if you're on your throne, get up and do something. That grief too. Only I wasn't saying it that pleasantly. I mean, just the utter grief, right? Utter grief. But he kept inviting me to healing. And I thought, oh, don't distract me. You know, like, we're not forgetting this.
and but really, that anger feels so much easier to feel than that brokenness.
Yes. Because
you haven't ever, it's empowering to feel angry.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. A victim your whole life.
Yes.
You know, always feel angry. Mm-hmm. That feels nice for a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then it doesn't. And I watched people. I was so hungry for stories. I was like, is anybody out there like this? You know, does anybody else have any of this? And I could see such a difference between people who had found Jesus and those who were just angry over it. And they were going to get justice, and they were, whatever it took, they were going to get justice, you know? And, what was fascinating to me is that not just fascinating, but so, so beautiful to me, is that when Jesus invited me into healing, and he just very gently kept inviting me into healing, the more I just rested in that and received his love for that, the more I realized that was so much more life-giving to me than justice. I remember the times that I would see families on a newscast that had gotten justice. They lost a family member to murder or other crimes, right? And today justice was executed. And I'd look at that, and, you know, I look at that and I grieve, right? Grieve, what their loss is. But I sure didn't see healing from that. And God really used that to minister to me. It's like he was saying, love, do you want justice or would you like healing? Because I'm going to do all of it. But how about we dwell in healing instead. And, you know, I'm about 8 years into healing, and I just think, oh my goodness, I can't believe that he can restore joy. That I hear myself laugh. My kids make me laugh so hard. And I love to laugh, and I hear it. And I remember wondering if I'd ever be able to laugh again. When I began to piece together the pain of my life, I didn't know if I ever could laugh. And there's seasons like that. There's still seasons like that where I think, oh God, would you ever give me laughter again? Would you heal again? And, he is going to bring about justice. I do believe, you know, he is what he is. He cannot contradict his character. He's a God of justice. But what more justice can there be than him giving us healing? And I know that can seem like the short end of the stick. If you're in so much pain, that can feel like it's another short end of the stick, you know, like you already got dealt the worst set of cards. And then, I know I'm mixing metaphors, but then to be like, well, whatever, you know, but we are not forgotten. I think about how God never forgets. I love that term or the phrase in scripture. But then the Lord remembered. It wasn't that he didn't remember before. It was right. His time. But then the Lord remembered. Yeah. And I have been so touched that he would give me safety to heal. And going back to the song, that he would open my eyes so that I could heal, love me enough to give me the truth so that I could be set free from the chains that have been put on me, so that I could deal with it. And then not just that, not just be like, okay, well, sorry, you didn't have a very nice life. I hope you can make it to the end till you see me in person. He didn't do that. But he's like, I'm going to give you gifts of my presence, my hope. Trust me, I'm going to take care of it. I don't forget you. I even get to this point. I cannot believe this. Okay. I cannot believe. I have days where I don't even think about it, where I'm just
amazing.
It is unbelievable.
Would you believe that?
No. I'll never be able to live. I'll never be able to breathe. I'll never go a day without crying. I thought never have a day where I didn't cry. I didn't think at the end of laughter. I didn't think I could laugh. And I, you know, where the Bible says laughter does good to the heart like medicine, I personally take that very seriously. I ask him. That's something I ask him for. Because when I feel the heaviness weighing and some of the grief, there's a ton of grief. I mean, there's a ton of grief I'm still working through. This is not, I am not tied up with a bow at all. Everything's done. That tears this
laughter. You went away and you came back and there had been a bouquet of flowers. And your boys had taken care of them for you. There was no petals left on the flowers, but the bouquet was still there with all the stems. Did you have this on Facebook? It's just hysterical.
Yes. Exactly. And so unexpectedly, I just have the best things to laugh about. Yeah, if you can imagine, it's just these green stems. I was like, guys, thank you so much for cleaning up the petals, but you could have thrown these away. Oh, those aren't flowers? No, guys, those are not flowers.
So she had this vase of just stems.
So great. So then my husband got me some flowers, and I was like, guys, these are flowers. This is what flowers look like. It's so great.
those are the things of life.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, 8 years ago, you would not have laughed over that. You couldn't have.
No.
You know, I mean, even funny things are not funny. Mm-mm. When you're that broken. So, you know, God can even in the brokenness. So I see love will not leave us blind. Love will not leave us broken.
Puts us together. Yeah.
He puts us together.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was jumping out to me. I mean, these words are the ones that flowed out as I just sat in that pain with him and let him minister to me. But love that teaches me to know that I am loved. I think when we have been abused and violated, as we have, the natural consequence of that is to feel unlovable, even though the person, we didn't do something to cause this to happen. So I, in my experience, have needed to be taught by him, and not taught, invited. When I say taught, I mean it more like invited to know that I am loved. This is not, I'm not a second class citizen. I'm not second class to him. I think there's something extremely precious to God. I know it's a level playing field. It is. And yet I have gone from feeling completely worthless to kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm so loved. I'm just so loved. He loves me so much. Oh my goodness. And kind of, and just, and hurting for other people who have not discovered that love. The other believers who don't have the hard story that I do, almost feeling for them, because I realize they don't, that level of brokenness has created a capacity and a desperation for him and for his love that gives me so much capacity to receive his love. And I almost hurt for them. Like, oh, I'm not sure you hunger like I do. I don't necessarily sometimes see the hunger. And therefore there's an abundance of need here that he pours out to abundantly. And I also look at my perpetrators now with pity. Like, you really think you've won. And I'm actually at a place where I'm sometimes able to pray for them for repentance. And that's a big deal, you know, because
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Jesus said, pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
I do too. Not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cause I, have found that he's kind of turned my face away too, because in the grief, even for my parents, there's a grief for them at their level of deception, self-deception, and the deception of, other innocent believers around them that do not realize how dangerous they are. I just thought, God, there's nothing you could do more redemptive than and more to hurt the enemy than save my parents, for real saving. And I went through a time too of just so yearning over them that, and it was like Jesus picked me up and said, turn away. You follow me.
Yeah.
You follow me. And that's what I've had to set my face to is, Jesus, I gave myself to you. I belong to you. So I'm going to do, I'm yours. I belong to him in the best way. You know, belonging used to be, belonging is a complicated word for me because I belonged to them, but it's a treasured word in the sense of me belonging to Jesus. I am his and he is mine. You know, just, it's incredibly meaningful to me.
Well, and so. He has shown his ability to be trustworthy to you.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Over and over. I'm sorry, broke up just as you said that. I'm sorry.
It's a beautiful love story.
It is. It's precious. Thank you for letting me share that. I just appreciate the opportunity to share this. I really hope that the story behind it will will minister to people. I know I've always loved hearing the story behind a song. I love when people share the story behind a song because there is so much more meaning behind it. And this one in particular, I appreciate being able to share more of that, because I hope it will touch people where they're needing to be touched with God restoring their dignity is what I ache for people to know.
I appreciate that. And I know you have not publicly done a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This takes a lot, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the context to do that.
In your heart. And I know you will come back again, because we have some more songs to go. And just love you and appreciate you. And
you. You too.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. And we will have Cardia back next time.
Love that opens up my eyes to see, to know, to realize. A love that will not let me go. Love that gives again to show. A love that never will run out, won't turn away when I doubt. Love that will not let me go. Love that teaches me to know that I am loved and He is mine. Christ, my Savior, you are.